So what was the weather like in Phoenix today?
Hot as always.
Was it like 170?
I think it was only like 108.
When you get really hot, do you ever take your beard up and then and like bat your forehead with it to cool off?
That's the only thing I have, man.
Hello and welcome to the Cultcast, the best 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. I'm your host, Aaron Elijah, and I'm back with my friends, Leander Caney, Buster Heine.
Hello.
Oh, something came out.
Oh.
Got on my microphone. I got to be a little less exuberant about that. Welcome to the podcast. Hey, let's start out the show with a couple quick shout outs because we've been getting a lot of great fan art. Buster, you've seen it.
Oh, dude, Leander, it's been amazing lately.
We've gotten some great stuff. Leander, did you see the Ghostbusters one that we recently got?
No, I haven't seen it.
Awesome. You got to check it out. It's funny because every time someone Photoshops you into one of these images, it actually looks like you belong there.
Who, me?
Yeah. You need to check out this Ghostbusters one. But
Are they doing pictures of Ron Jeremy with a hairy back?
Yeah. you did see it. Yeah, so you saw it. We're good. I want to give a shout out to Tracy Bienemann and Cameron Bean at YSR50 and Paint with Fire, respectively, on Twitter for sending us a lot of great artwork. They've been hooking us up. So thank you guys. Love that artwork. If you guys want to send us your iTunes artwork, just make it 1400 by 1400 pixels. You can tweet it at me, email it to me, Airfon, ERFON, at cultomac.com. And also, we need those header images that we use for Cultomac for the posts when we tell people about the Cultcast on the site, and that's just 640 pixels wide. So please keep those coming. We thoroughly enjoy those. I honestly think my favorite one is still yet to come. I haven't posted it yet, but it's a Perfect Strangers reference.
What's that?
Perfect Strangers.
Leander, you don't know what Perfect Strangers is. Wow. I thought if anyone would get it, it would be you.
Really?
Yeah. Do you remember that show, Perfect Strangers, where those two guys lived together in New York and they were like distant cousins? No?
I don't know if you noticed. I grew up in England.
Yeah, but you've been here. You've been here for like 65 years.
20 years.
Isn't it? 20. Okay. Well, oh, my bad. My bad.
And I was too poor to have a TV for like the first.
Okay. Well, then I think that was the problem. You're watching the TVs and the windows of the shops you walked by.
Yeah, right, exactly. That's exactly what I did. Yeah, no, I haven't, you know, I'm not even up with Breaking Bad, so, I mean, my God.
Oh, my gosh. No spoilers, I just finished season 3 of Game of Thrones.
And you got to the Red Wedding?
Oh, my gosh. Heart-wrenching. the last three episodes of that show, no spoilers, traumatized me.
Right.
I had no idea what was coming. I thought one thing was going to happen, and they went a different way than I expected.
Well,
and
I got kind of like Game of Thrones fatigue after sort of the first couple of episodes of season 2.
It only took 2 episodes for you to get tired of it.
Yeah, you know, I watched the first season. I watched a couple of seasons, episode 2, and I was like, you know, should I push on then? Do you think?
I definitely would.
Yeah. I would, yeah. It's one of the best shows I've ever watched. It's fantastic. And George R. R. Martin, the author of those stories, he is a master of storytelling. There's just the stuff that he does, for me at least, I didn't see coming, and the plot twists and turns he takes are unlike any other like shows that I've really seen. Well, Dexter's really good though too.
I read a funny interview with Martin. He was saying, like, no matter how crazy his books get, there's always he's taken a lot of it from history, and he gave They were talking about the wedding, right? And he was saying, well, that, you know, there's a couple of episodes in history where that really happened, and they were even more effed up in what really happened in history.
Okay, well, don't describe it. We don't want to ruin it for anyone that is planning on watching it.
No.
But he's like, when that alien came down in the scene and they all saw him, that was crazy. Right. And the whole season changed. Hey, let's talk about some Apple stuff. How about it, fellows? Okay. If we talk about non-Apple stuff for more than 90 seconds, we lose approximately half our listeners. So let's get this road back on the show. Let's talk about iTunes 5th anniversary. which in and of itself isn't all that exciting, but iTunes is celebrating its fifth birthday. Hard to believe that the App Store.
Yeah.
I misspoke. The App Store is celebrating its fifth birthday. Yeah. It's hard to imagine the iPhone without apps, isn't it?
Right, totally. In fact, it's changed the whole software distribution system and everything, hasn't it? I mean, it's complete and changed the whole software world.
Yeah, truly. Because now Apple's pushing it on the Mac as well, and of course Windows has their App Store and Amazon has their App Store. Yeah, but I don't know, Buster. You probably downloaded some of these. So the App Store is giving away a bunch of free apps.
Right.
And some of them are really good. Infinity Blade 2, which is normally, what, $8?
Yeah, well, I don't know if it's eight. It's usually $5, I think.
Okay. Free.
But still, it's expensive. Yeah.
Yeah, where's my water?
The Tractor DJ app was $20.
Though. Yeah, I mean, good apps. These aren't crappy apps that they're just trying to pawn off for their birthday.
Right.
You know, it's like, oh, here's Stopwatch. Extreme right. Pro.
This is not like a dollar. This is not like a goodie bag from the dollar store, right?
With yeah, some good analogy. Yeah. Exactly. Like this is like primo stuff.
Well, Tiny Wings? That's a game, right? With the bird.
Tiny Wings. I thought that was free, but maybe I just got it when it first came out.
And what about what's Day One?
Day One. I think it's a planner journal app.
Yeah, Barefoot World Atlas. Tractor, as Buster mentioned, DJ for iPad and iPhone. It's a $20 app. Badland, Where's My Water, Super Brother, Sword and Sorcery. So some good apps here. If you guys haven't downloaded them, I think by the time you hear this, Thursday, Friday, I think they're wrapping up the free stuff on Friday. Do you guys know?
Yeah. Okay, so we're gonna wrap. Yeah.
And if you haven't downloaded this stuff, what I always do is I just install it, and then if I don't play it, I just delete it. But once you have the license to it, you can download it whenever you want again. So it's like you might as well just go download it, right?
Yeah, good thinking. Hold it.
Yeah, you guys have 600 apps on your iPhones, right?
Oh, more than that.
Yeah.
If I see an app, I don't even read the description. If I like the icon. Install.
Yeah, I just download it just in case I want it in the future.
Yeah, right. Just in case I want to use that unidentified app in the future.
That's an awesome idea.
Hey, good news for those who are hoping for a new MacBook Pro. I'm in that group as well. I guess there was some.
Did you just get one?
No, my MacBook Pro is as old as one of your youngest children.
Oh,
how old is Lyle? He's like three.
He just turned 13 yesterday. Okay.
Tell him I said happy birthday, and then punch him in his arm as hard as you can.
Okay. Oh, well.
And tell him it's from Uncle Airfon.
All right.
So, Geekbench, popular community benchmarking websites, had a little Easter egg pop up, and that is the updated.
Yeah, people fake those all the time.
Don't urinate on my dreams, Leander. I know you're inebriated and you have to probably go anyway. am I right?
The last beer out the fridge. So, yeah, okay. We're going to have to wrap this up.
See, I was right. I really need a new MacBook Pro, and I'm waiting because they updated the MacBook Airs at WWDC, but no new MacBook Pros. And according to Geekbench, which may or may not be real, as Leander pointed out, I'm going to go with they are. The new MacBook Pro has popped up. It's packing the new Haswell processors, of course. New Core i7 running at 2.4 gigahertz and the Intel Iris Pro 5200 integrated graphics, which if you're buying a MacBook Pro, you probably aren't that excited about. But the score was actually not that much higher than the current models of MacBook Pros. And that was a little disappointing.
Mm. Better battery life, maybe.
But it's probably going to have better battery life. But I mean, I know people get excited about battery life. I think the new MacBook Airs are really great. And the fact that you get, you know, quote unquote, 12 hours of battery life is really awesome. But how many people really need to get 12 hours of battery life? I mean,
a lot of people. I mean, it's great that you can just take it with you throughout the whole day, man, and not have to worry about carrying a charger.
Right, and especially now that coffee shops have removed all the outlets.
Yeah.
What?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like Barnes & Noble and coffee. Yeah. They
oh, I just, Leander just drops that in there like it's fact. He's like, that's mentioned on coffee shops.
An outlet anyway. Go to Ritual Roasters in San Francisco, right? The hippest coffee shop in the city. Not an outlet to be seen.
Really? And that's because they got rid of them.
Well, I've been working here in Brooklyn, and I've been going to coffee shops to try to work, and I haven't found one with an outlet. And they have all these bizarre signs up. Laptops only a third Wednesday between 8 and 5.
Oh, that sounds...
In the back room.
That's so... That's pretty hipster.
Yeah, well, it is, but obviously they've reached that, you know, this is the leading edge of, like, hipster intolerance, the hipster backlash.
There's a restaurant here in Seattle where they have these signs posted that if your phone rings and you answer it, they put a $5 charge on your bill.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
As a phone answering fee. And when I saw that, I was like, hell no. If you put a $5 charge on my bill because I answered my phone, then you are going to have a much smaller tip, and I'm not paying you $5.
Yeah.
Not going to happen.
A smaller tip. Take it out on the poor waiter.
Yeah. Well, that's a good point. That's what I was planning. Oh, you were being sarcastic.
I was, yeah. Probably because it's the manager's idea.
So now you're going to tell me that burning the place to the ground is also overreacting.
Yeah. Not really. Not really acceptable.
Which may or may not have already been.
Well, how did you get alerted to this policy? I mean, I it's done its job, right? It just because they're not really going to do that. They just want to let you know that it's like, it's better than a rude sign saying, you know, don't answer your phone.
Well, I heard they were serious about it and that they actually do charge people. If it's a joke, ridiculous. I think it's brilliant. If it's a joke, it's brilliant. But if it's not a joke and they actually would try to charge you and they're like, well, did you see our sign, sir? That's when I...
Well, something's got to be done. It's totally rude. Some moron was talking in the restaurant right in front of me. I mean, like, how long have we had cell phones now? I mean, you know, this was a big deal when cell phones became popular. 10 years ago,
yeah,
and it was a matter of etiquette, and like not a lot of people do it, but there's a few, you know, holdout assholes that will still talk extremely loudly,
right,
around you, and you look at them, and you go like, are you from another planet? What the hell? Haven't you got the message yet? I mean, take it out slowly.
Is that when you look at them, you're like, excuse me, are you an alien? And they turn around, and they are from like another country, and then you feel like a big jerk. Yeah. There was a girl on the bus that I took recently who was having a very, very loud conversation. And I agree with you guys. I'm all for courtesy. You know, there's no point to scream into a phone when you're surrounded by other people. And she was speaking so loudly, I had to wonder if maybe she wanted people to hear what she was saying. Like, maybe she thought what she was talking about was really cool. She was talking about how her boyfriend did this and that, lived in another country and something or other, and she was just like, and then I talked to him and he said he loved me, and he's just talking so loud. She either had no volume control or she really wanted us to hear how much her boyfriend loved her.
Uh-huh.
And let me tell you, that girl's boyfriend, I kind of wonder if he exists.
Oh, you mean, okay, exactly. Yeah, right.
Let's keep it on some Apple stuff, shall we? Let's talk about iPads. Because Digitimes, leader in Apple rumors, has come out with a rumor that we're going to see updated iPads in September. And actually, this is a good thing to talk about because I've actually been getting several questions recently on if people should buy an iPad now. So Digitimes has said we're going to get a newer iPad, which of course we're going to get newer iPads in fall. So if you're thinking about buying one and you can hold out, definitely hold out. And the iPad is going to be updated to look like the Mac Mini. Or I'm sorry, the iPad Mini, not the Mac Mini. So it's going to have a slimmer bezel. It's going to look more kind of like the iPhone 5/iPad Mini. I'm thinking that's going to be true. I think that's kind of a no-brainer. Would you guys agree, Buster?
For the iPad?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they're also saying they're not sure if the iPad Mini is going to get a Retina screen. Leander, do you think we're going to see Retina screen iPads come fall?
Well, iPad Mini is the only one.
Hello. I was looking at Skype to see if I lost you guys.
Well, Buster butted in there, and I was like,
"Yeah, sorry." I was just like, "Oh, sorry."
Plus, you know, but I was kind of happy for them to go on because, you know, I mean, I have no idea.
Make something up. Just make it
up. Yeah, I'm sure it's going to happen sometime. I guess it's going to happen soon.
You heard it here first, folks. It is going to happen sometime. Cultimac, well, top story.
Hey, come on. I could turn that into a DigiTimes report any day of the week, right?
And honestly, that's probably what they're doing. They're just trying to get some press.
Yeah, you know, certain other sites too that we won't get, you know, whose name we won't mention, that Apple's going to have a raffle of products in the fall. Well, really? No way.
We talked about this last show.
Yeah, Tim Cook's still mad about it.
You're still fuming? No wonder you haven't talked to me all week.
They may or may not have Retina displays. They may or may not have this or that or the other, or, you know, NFC or fingerprints or, I guess they might. Didn't they have, they're pretty common now, that size, aren't they? Haven't they come to some of the Android tabs already, those Retina displays?
The Retina display? I think it's also an issue of battery life, though, as well, for the iPad mini. So I think a lot of people weren't expecting them to come out with it until maybe 2014. But if they just push it back to 2013, like later in the year, I think people would be pretty happy about that.
Interesting. Well, Digitimes is saying Apple is still considering whether or not to adopt a Retina display for the device. You're right, Leonard. Apple is still considering operating phrase in that sentence. It may not happen. Exactly. No one knows for sure at this point. We got our fingers crossed, though.
It's a supply chain issue. I don't think it's a, you know, because the battery issue, right? They'll just do what they do with the iPad too, which is like make it thicker. They'll just put a bigger battery in it if it needs you know, more battery life. Uh-huh. And it's just can they get the screens in the volumes they need? I mean, this is it's going to, you know, they're going to need a supply chain that's going to be able to deliver millions of screens.
Well, finishing off the rumor, that's exactly what Digitimes said.
Wow.
Very astute of you, Leander. Really? Is that if they do release it, the iPad mini with a Retina display, it could be late. And well, I believe that because I feel like every time I read about new products coming out with Retina displays, that's always the big question is supply chain. Apple's really having a hard time producing these screens.
Well, Sharp, I think, has a new plant, right? In
Brazil.
Is it Japan. Brazil?
No, I don't know. I was just throwing out
Korea. No, there was
Foxconn has a new plant in Brazil.
There you go.
Yeah, but that's an assembly plant. They just Sharp, I think, or somebody, you know. I'm pretty sure it's Sharp. I can't remember why they had a TV plant, right? They got it. Somebody just exited the TV business, but they built this huge factory that has been switched over. Instead of big panels TVs, they switched it over to smartphone and tablet screens, and that's where a lot of the Retina displays are coming from.
They're coming from Sharp.
Yeah,
I think it's Sharp. Wasn't it Sharp?
No, I believe you're right. Yeah,
or Toshiba or something.
No, it's Sharp because Apple's trying to get away from Samsung.
Well, they never use one supplier anyway. I mean, they always have at least two.
So they're mixing in more of Sharps now.
Yeah. So, and I don't think they care. Samsung doesn't care either. Like they're happy to sell Apple as many screens or chips. Oh, memory, you know, RAM chips, whatever, you know, as they like, no matter what they do, how many court cases they have against each other. They don't, you know.
at least five or six.
Yeah, but Apple might move away from in I think, just because, for IP reasons, I think, mainly. Because they don't want to share too much of their IP.
Did you guys hear about this patent that Apple recently came out with for flexible batteries?
I didn't.
This is interesting. I think batteries are really interesting because a lot of companies just use the regular batteries that you can buy, you know, on the market. But Apple's actually innovating here as well. They filed a patent that allows them to put batteries into a flexible layer. And I'm oversimplifying this just for explanation's sake.
Okay.
And then it allows them to shape the battery into different shapes. So, you know, one of the big innovations with the unibody MacBook Pro is the fact that they could mold the batteries into different shapes and not just have them in the normal standard like laptop PC battery shapes. So it allowed them to pack a lot more stuff into that body shape. So I think this is cool because, you know, if they could weave this battery into the shell of a device, or if they could, you know, somehow, you know, make it more compact, we could have devices that were smaller, perhaps. I don't know, but it kind of opens up a whole new world of manufacturing possibilities where they could create shapes that maybe didn't exist before for iPads, for computers. Because, you know, like, this is going to be kind of an off example, as mine normally are. But when you see a car, they all kind of look the same, right? They look different, but the bumpers are all at certain heights and everything. And they have these manufacturing constraints that they all have to adhere to when you're making a car. And that's kind of similar in the computing world, although they're not made to do this by the government, but they have certain manufacturing constraints. So this could allow Apple to create some really, you know, cool looking stuff. And some of the people out there, of course, are like, oh, this is what we're going to see in the iWatch. You know, maybe they'll have the battery built into it in a way where it allows it to be much slimmer than like a normal
built into the watch.
Or it could be built into the strap. That's a great point. Yeah. Well, they could put it somewhere where they normally wouldn't have it before, so that thing is still slim and they could pack a lot of horsepower into it. If we ever see an iWatch, that is.
Yeah.
DigiTimes are reporting that we may or may not see an iWatch in the future. At some point in the possible future, we may or may not see an iWatch from Apple. DigiTimes headline.
In this reality.
In this realm.
In the Apple universe, everybody got it. But in the other one, it hasn't come in yet.
Let's move on to iOS Beta 3. New beta, iOS 7 Beta 3. New beta out, the third beta. And Buster, are you using it?
iOS 7 Beta 3?
Yeah, what the heck did I just say?
I think you said I was just double checking because I wasn't
listening. I like, somebody wasn't listening.
Hey, an OS X Mavericks Beta 7 3 for the iPhone 4. Tell me about the new beta, Buster, because you wrote this interesting piece on Cultamac.
Oh, okay, yeah, the six biggest changes.
Yeah, and I think this is cool. If you guys haven't seen this piece, you should go check it out. It's titled, Here Are Six of the Biggest Changes Apple Added in iOS 7 Beta 3, because Buster put some animated GIFs in there, so it kind of shows you what it did look like before and what it looks like now. And there's actually some good-looking stuff in here.
That's an awesome post.
Yeah, it's a great... Hey, good job, Buster.
Oh, thanks, awesome post. Guys. Thanks, man.
So let's start at the top. Lock screen now displays the time while playing music.
Yeah, so you can toggle that on and off. So you
magical, revolutionary. That one's good.
Yeah, that one changes everything again.
Wait,
that one changes everything again.
I know. What about the gray dot indicator?
Oh, that one's revolutionary and magical. Dude. And that also changes everything for the next again.
That one's just like, how did that not get included in the original, you know?
Oh, they're running out of time. They're like,
couldn't put the dots in. Sorry, guys.
No time for dots. We got to release it. This is going to be Betamax. Release it. This one, this is going to be a hot one. So the .com button is being taken off the keyboards. Now if you want to access like .com, .org, you got to hold down the period button. I kind of hate that, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I don't care because it fits in better with the unified search bar, because you're not always going to be putting in .com all the time. Sometimes now with the unified search bar, the first result is going to say, you know, cultofmac.com or, you know, cnn.com for you. So you can just tap it anyway and get there quicker.
That's cool, because are you talking about system-wide or in Safari? You're talking about
in Safari.
Good. They needed a unified bar at the top.
Yeah, it's way nicer.
Because I'm used to using hello. Whose phone's ringing? How many phones?
The doorbell. The kids are home.
Oh, all no. Right. Quick. Hide under the bed.
I got it. Okay.
Chrome, for instance, it has the unified search bar. And on Safari for iPhone, I always end up typing my search into the address bar. Yeah. And then I have to go over to the search bar. And that just makes me so angry.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so angry. Passbook passes are now going to appear as passes when attached to emails. That one's cool.
Yeah.
This one's actually pretty cool. New animations for app downloads. They look good.
Yeah. The only thing is it's just so, like, it'll freeze there and everything for a while. So it's just, like, I think it's even more annoying to have such a big animation actually on it.
Because the animation doesn't move fluidly?
Well, yeah, exactly. Just like your download animations don't move fluidly if you don't have like a high speed connection. So sometimes it's like it's pretty jerky, and so you'll just be like, "Come on!"
They should have it move like a radar, you know, where that line is constantly moving around.
Yeah,
it's like light toned, and then when it hits to the point where it actually is in the download process, it like brightens that one line.
Yep.
Are you following me on that example?
Oh, I follow you on that. Okay. Yeah, no, that I think was, that'd be great. Idea.
Okay, but this is actually really great. So the font has been changed from Helvetica New Regular. I know Leland is laughing because he thinks I'm joking, but I'm not.
No. I know all about this.
Okay, so Helvetica New Regular instead of Ultra Light is the new font. And I couldn't be more excited about this because the one thing I absolutely despised in iOS 7 was that ugly Windows phone looking font. I thought it looked terrible. Absolutely terrible. And now it looks much less terrible.
Still not great though.
Not as good as I would like it to be, but definitely looks a lot better. I hope that our powerful
What did Helvetica New Regular what else does it use? You know, do they use it anywhere else?
Yeah, I think Windows uses it.
Oh really? Well, did you see that Marco Ament was taking credit for this change? There was it was a huge deal, wasn't it, this week? I mean, there was a really big.
There was a lot of people celebrating it, which was like, oh, they just switched it from regular to new. So this is, you know, but yeah, people were like, oh, it's not like iOS is a work in progress. Still, they changed the font.
Well, they were going nuts about this. Like, this is a huge deal. I mean, especially because Johnny Ive listens apparently to its critics.
Yeah.
Interesting. I mean, it's a very big change, a very noticeable change. I mean, it affects the entire system. So in that regard, it is a huge deal that they would go
in. Right. I mean, I guess, you know, I think the biggest difference is they were saying, people taking credit for influencing Apple because, you know, it's such a famously company that doesn't listen to its users. It doesn't, you know, it doesn't take customer input, does it? I mean, it's Steve Jobs. Could you imagine? Job saying,
Leander, you just turned into a cyborg. Are you still there? I mean, his kids are at home and they're all like, let's get on Netflix.
Yeah, probably.
Governor, are you there? Okay, great. Welcome back, Governor. Hey, Buster, let's wrap up with this story because I thought this one was kind of cool. And then I thought about it and I was like, well, this doesn't actually sound that impressive. About the algorithm that can now predict where your iPhone will be in 24 hours.
No, it's crazy, man. It's a group of researchers at, like, I think the University of Birmingham, I think.
Yeah.
They developed an algorithm that basically looks at all of your contacts and where they're going and, you know, events and where they're checking in. And then it can predict where you're going to be at within 24 hours, and it's accurate to within 20 meters. It's kind of scary if, like, stuff like that is in the wrong hands, you know?
Wow, so it would know within 60 feet of where you're going to be within 24 hours?
It will know, yeah. It'll know where you're going to be at in 24 hours. And it's like accurate within 20 meters. Yeah.
See, I feel like, okay, so that sounds impressive, but then I think about what most people do every day. Okay. And then that doesn't really impress me that much. Because doesn't everyone pretty much do the same thing every single day, day in and day out?
No. That's the thing is there's always change. There's always variation in that.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's always random change. And so there have been algorithms that can kind of predict the things that you will do, but not precisely where you will be as far as like location as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a pretty big change. And so like what they'll do is they'll see like, oh, your friends are going to a concert on Facebook, even if you haven't checked it, like aren't going to it.
Yeah.
It'll say like what the odds are of you, you know, going with those friends, things like that. I'm sure it's a super complex.
So it's
going
to search your Spotify and it's going to say, oh, yeah, Alex Excelsior Heath has been listening to a lot of girly music. He's probably going to end up at this John Mayer show in Ohio.
Yep.
And lo and behold,
wearing a kaftan.
Lo and behold, all of a sudden on Instagram, you're following Alex E. Heath. And all of a sudden, he starts posting all these John Mayer videos and stuff where I'm pretty sure I heard him weeping slightly in the background.
Like, play Daughters.
Daughters!
Play Daughters!
Daughters! That's in every video. And then when it comes on, he has the video on. He's like, he's playing it! He's playing it! And then, like, the rest of the 5 or 6 video sequence is just him belting the lyrics out as loud as he can.
Yep. Yep.
You guys should definitely follow Alex on Instagram, especially while he's in Ohio going to John Mayer concerts. All right, hey, let's wrap it up there. What do you say, guys?
Okay.
Before Leander's voice gets any more digital than it already is, his kids just got home, the Netflix all got booted up, the signal just went down the tubes. That's all the cult cast we have for you guys this week. Hey, you know, you should come hang out with us on Twitter. We have such a good time. Buster's BST3R. I'm at Erfon, E-R-F-O-N. And Leander is L. Caney, or as Leo Laporte likes to say, L. Caney. And you should follow him on Instagram. It's also at L. Caney. He has all sorts of great pictures of food happening, pictures of his
son
doing weird gymnastics poses. All right, let's keep this thing going. Well, this has been the CultCast, the best 30-minute album conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of the CultCast come every Thursday night. I want to thank everyone for listening. We'll see you guys next time.
All right.
Who's the other guy? Buster, do you remember?
Channing Tatum.
Said happy birthday.
That's from Uncle Irfan.